Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you in the center of this weekend's UFC 261 title fight with 26-1 odds on either fighter to win. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $5 into $135 if the title contender of your choice wins. That's code FANRUN in all caps to turn $5 into $135. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, want help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Interceptions come from good defense and bad quarterback play. You know, force tight windows and the quarterback's not very good and you disguise your coverages pretty well. Like, you can force turnovers that way.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
See, I think with fumbles, those are a little bit more what I would consider lucky, because then you have to fall on it and recover it too.
And it depends on how the ball bounces.
It's not round, as
a
wise man once said.
It's not round. You don't know which way it's going to bounce.
Yeah.
It could bounce to the left, to the right. I mean, it's a lemon-shaped object.
Sometimes it can just bounce right back up to you. It's a what?
It's a lemon-shaped object.
On 1340 WKGN.
Aren't lemons just like round?
Some,
like a little
tip on them sometimes, maybe?
Well,
I feel like when you see a lemon, a depiction of a lemon, like in a photo, like in a, you know, a graphic or something, it's shaped like a football. But when you actually buy a lemon in the store, it is just kind of round. But not all lemons. Some lemons are more, you know, they got more of a side to them. Some lemons have hips. Others are just circular.
What? Wait a minute.
Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Draven?
We got to start with a little bit of a birthday shout-out, John. Maybe an important one for a board bet for you. Happy birthday to the Queen. 95th birthday. Still going.
She's got what? Another 14 months.
Is that your timetable?
Right? Is that right, Hayden? 14 months, July of 2022? That's when she has a stroke by, right?
Okay. You still locking your odds?
Yeah.
95 years old. I don't know, man. I feel like she's looking pretty good for 95. Am I wrong in saying that? I feel like she's looking pretty young. Pretty healthy. Looks a lot better than Philip over there towards his later years, right?
Well, yes, he's dead.
Well, I'm just saying, his later years.
Okay.
Yeah, moving on. What do we make of Zion getting his first signature shoe? Uh-oh. He is going to now be the only fourth active Jordan Brand athlete with this honor, joining CP3, Russell Westbrook, and Carmelo Anthony. Zion, I believe they're going to be called, the Zion 1. Kind of a boring-looking shoe, in my opinion. Do you guys ever see these signature shoes and just kind of think, yeah, a little boring?
Most of the time.
I think about that. Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah. Did you guys see the Zion shoes?
I think the Z looks cool.
Okay. I see. Yeah, the Z does look kind of cool. You're talking about like on the
you
side
got a
there.
Of them?
Yeah.
Let me see. I think those look good.
You like those?
I think they look good too.
I think those look really good.
Okay. I understand.
You think those are boring? I think there's a lot there. The Z's cool. I think the, what is that, like zebra?
Yeah.
A zebra pattern?
Kind of.
Like, on the tongue? Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think those are pretty dope. I like those more than almost any of the signature shoes I see lately.
The best signature shoe is
Michael Jordan's.
The Kobe's, I think. Well, I mean, outside
the Jordan's.
But like actual
LeBron's
the ones that people
stink,
wear.
The Curry stink. I like the Durant's.
Yeah, I had some Durant's. I had some the Nods
Kobe,
and Tens.
The Kobe's are the last Kobe's, not the boxes. The boxes are awful. You guys remember the boxes, the box Kobe's? The first ones you had?
Yeah.
I don't remember those.
The ones
I'm talking about, like the 9, 10, 11s.
No, Google the box Kobe's. I think it was like his first line. They were some of the ugliest shoes ever.
Really?
Yeah. You never seen them either?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to take a second and let you guys Google. I want your reaction.
You said box Kobe's.
I mean, I think that's pretty much what they were called. Silver.
It's just, I'd see Kobe 5. They're just white with a gold check, but I guess that's not it.
2001, the Kobe 2s. I guess they're the Kobe 2s. Let's try that.
Kobe 2s.
Adidas.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. Is that a shoe?
Is this for real?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those are some of the ugliest shoes ever, right?
I will say, there's a picture with him having them on.
What are you about to say?
Are you going to be the only person in the world that's defended the
no,
Kobe
no,
suit?
No, no, no. I'm just going to say they look better on his feet than they do actual.
Well, it's impossible to look worse.
That's true. I guess that's true.
Here's a picture of Snoop Dogg wearing some. No, those look awful. Oh, my God. Those are so ugly. The worst sneakers ever.
They came out with those.
Yeah. No, the worst sneakers ever. That's why Kobe eventually ended up on Nike and away from Adidas, I would imagine.
I would say so. Wow. Okay.
What was the like marketing approach behind that? Like they look like
they want them to be
like shoes, but you can play basketball in them.
I don't even remember. I don't know.
They do. They look like house slippers.
Like, they look aerodynamic. I don't know. I don't know. They look like cars. I mean, like I don't know what the.
They really do look like you just wrapped your feet in cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugly.
No, those are hideous. But yeah, the Kobe's after that with Nike, those were good. You're right. Those are good shoes. Ugh.
Staying in the NBA, James Harden, what do we make of this so-called setback that he's going to be dealing with? As Steve Nash said, he's back to square one.
Yeah, we'll dive into that more next segment. We'll talk some NBA from last night and kind of look ahead. But yeah, not good news for James Harden as he suffered a setback and is now back to square one.
I just curious what that means, honestly. Back to square one, I mean. Hasn't been really progressing much throughout the year. So they did say, Steve Nash at least said he should be back before playoffs, or at least they kind of they expect him to. He said it might be playoffs, it might be sooner. So now a little questionable there for the Nets. I guess they don't really need him after getting another win last night. But like you said, talk about that a little bit later. What do we make of Sirianni? Head coach of the Eagles. I could keep forgetting about this guy's name, honestly. Nick Sirianni. He actually declined to name Jalen Hurts as starting quarterback and said instead said it will be an open competition. Well, that's pretty interesting considering the fact that right now it's Jalen Hurts and Joe Flacco. Is that the open competition that you want? Ooh. What do we make, Jalen Hurts? Do you think he should be the starter for the Eagles, or do you think they should let it be open? Let Joe get another crack at it. Super Bowl champion Joe Flacco.
Wait, we think of the competition between those two?
That's what he says. So what
like
do you make?
Not like a potential like rookie quarterback as
well?
I mean,
I guess you could add another quarterback, but
I mean, I still think
trade
the,
it back. You wouldn't trade back if you would want to draft quarterback, right?
Where are they at now, 12? Mm-hmm. And they got an extra first-round pick next year?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could still move up if they had to, if they liked somebody. Or they could take a quarterback. There'll still be a quarterback at 12, I would imagine. Like Lance or Fields or Jones could still be there at 12. And I'd say likely one of those guys are there at 12, right? But I don't know if you draft any of those guys at 12. If it's just between Flacco and Hurts, then yeah, I'm a little surprised. Although at the same time, Joe Flacco's a Super Bowl champion. And just Jalen Hurts hasn't earned anything, so.
Yep.
I have no issue with them saying it's an open competition, even if it's most likely still going to be Hurts, right? Like, if it's between Flacco and Hurts, we give it like a 90-10 breakdown, right, in terms of the likelihood that Hurts is the starter?
Yeah.
I would say so, right?
I guess barring an injury. Did you see what Sirianni said about the playing rock, paper, scissors? Was that him who said that?
Yeah.
He's playing rock, paper, scissors with his quarterback, so he's thinking about drafting. To test their competitiveness.
Yeah, it's stuff like that, and like Jeopardy and stuff like that. Yeah,
man. That guy's gonna be a disaster.
I feel he's gonna eat him up, man. I give him a year. Why would you say that?
That guy's gonna be a disaster.
Oh, jeez. Rock, paper, scissors. Although, I mean, I guess it can get a little competitive, right?
I think it's just, do you want to win? But like, it's so stupid because again. You got some guys that think like that, but again, I imagine if you put Trevor Lawrence in a rock, paper, scissors thing, he'd be like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
He'd be like, you guys ever seen Wedding Crashers? When Rex McCown is trying to play the hand slap game with Sack, he's just like, were you not loved enough as a child? What are we doing? We're not playing rock, paper, scissors. Did I get enough attention?
He was a jerk, man. Just play the game with her, okay? Oh. Just slap her hands, man.
He was working.
He was always working. He was always busy. That guy.
One of the great movie villains.
Yeah, one of the more funny ones, at least, I would say. What do we make of Mahomes and Tom Brady? A little back and forth.
Good quarterback.
Really? Didn't know that. A little back and forth, did you guys see the Royals had catcher Salvador Perez? He had the had to wear the Brady jersey because of a lost a Super Bowl bet, apparently. And then Brady and Mahomes kind of tweeting at each other because of it. The Royals.
I'm Mahomes, I just leave Brady alone. You're 0-2, buddy. Just...
Well, Mahomes is not, because the Royals tweeted out, sometimes words speak louder than actions. And then Brady tweeted at them, said, no, I think actions always speak louder than words, and did a winky emoji just saying, you know, I'm the one that won the Super Bowl, I'm the reason he's doing all this, blah, blah, blah. And then Mahomes said, I guess we will see in 20 years, as Salvador Perez apparently is a Mahomes fan, you know, supporting Patrick Mahomes, saying that he's the best, being from Kansas City. So, a little back and forth.
Long
I guess
down,
we'll,
a long way to go to pass Brady.
We'll see in 20 years. How many Super Bowl wins does he need to say? To
10. 7 ain't going to be enough. Brady's got 7. 7 ain't going to be enough.
Brady's also won the head-to-head.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
the head-to-head's going to be tough to overcome because we watched an old man Brady beat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're always going to hold that over his head for sure.
And even if you're like, oh, the Tampa Bay one, whatever. In Kansas City, Brady went there and beat him. And it wasn't the defense that won that game. It was Brady going up and down the field in the fourth quarter. Even
it's
if
true.
He did throw an interception to D Ford. God, I'm so mad about that. It cost me so much money. Any other headlines?
Yes, I got more NFL news. Apparently, the NFL is releasing its helmet testing results today, doing a position-specific helmet designated for, like, you know, linemen having specified helmets, doing different stuff like that. So, yeah, the NFL testing this out a little bit, going to see how this works out. This will, let's say it says, which will likely lead to at least 18% of players changing their helmet for the season. So, kind of interesting. I guess Antonio Brown, a little ahead of the curve, wanting to use his own helmet, change his thing up a little bit, right?
All right. And Antonio Brown's a visionary. I've always said that.
By the way, how about AP getting, apparently him and his trainer, all good. He kind of got out of that whole situation.
Good for
yeah.
him.
Apparently.
Is he going to get a job this offseason?
I don't know. Anybody going to sign this guy?
I don't know.
Yeah, but apparently the whole civil dispute was settled between him and Brittany Taylor. Like I said, his trainer from, I guess, what, about a year ago that all happened? Year or two ago? Year and a half ago? Would you sign Antonio Brown?
I don't feel like he was much of a distraction in Tampa. And now that he's settled one of his court cases.
If you have a decent organization that can kind of has some leaders already on the team and may be able to keep him, you know, in check.
I would imagine no one's signing him to talk to the draft, though. I mean, obviously, at this point, like, everyone's kind of focused on the draft. All right, we'll dive into some NBA stuff. James Harden injury, what that means. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston Pike with the easiest new car...
Let's dive into some NBA talk. Ah, man, James Harden suffering a setback in his hamstring. Mm-mm-mm. The MVP run was over a month ago, but now the Nets are dealing with some history that I don't know if they want to be a part of. No team, no NBA champion has ever had all three of its leading scorers in terms of points per game miss double-digit regular season games.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
And what have they? They've all played, like, what, just 7 games together all year, I want to say? The three of them?
Yeah.
Well, they've definitely hit the number of, you know, guys out. Durant's missed over 10 games. Kyrie's missed over 10 games. And now Harden, this will make him for sure miss over 10 games. And, you know, Steve Nash didn't sound too optimistic. Just said, ah, we don't know. It might be the playoffs. Before he's back.
Mm-hmm.
Might be the playoffs before he's back.
Yeah, does that matter? Just get him back before playoffs anyways.
Well, I don't know. It's going to be a good test because, again, no NBA champion has ever had its three leading scorers miss double-digit games. And, you know, obviously no team's ever had three scorers as good as this, which I don't know if that makes it even more of a haul that they have to carry, or if it's just like, hey, if, as long as you have two of these guys, the scoring ain't going to be the problem. I don't know.
As long as you have one of them, right? I mean, Kyrie played last night, and that was it.
Pelicans stink.
Yeah, but
Stan Van Gundy's going to get fired within a year. Which, by the way,
Enough about James Harden. The Nets, yeah, the Nets go into New Orleans and win. That was in New Orleans, right? Or was that in Brooklyn?
It was in New Orleans.
I thought so. Yeah. I knew New Orleans was favored in that game. They go there, and Kyrie puts on a show, 32-8, and the Nets score 41 points in the fourth quarter and win. Did you guys see what happened over the weekend with the Pelicans on Sunday against the Knicks?
Yeah.
Where they blew that game?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But did you see what happened after the game?
Did not.
You didn't see what happened in the press conference?
No.
Draven, did you see what happened in the press conference?
Van Gundy, mad.
No, not that. Not that.
Zion talking about how much he likes New York.
Zion talking about how much he loves New York and loves playing in the Madison Square Garden.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I did hear that, Zion. Yeah, people were talking about Zion loves New York. Uh-oh.
He said, I'm glad you asked me that. They asked, you know, what it's like for him to play in Madison Square Garden. He's like, I'm glad you asked me that.
And go watch the clip, man. He is solid, grinning from ear to ear. Ear to ear.
Something to monitor.
It's also got to be frustrating for him, man. I mean, he played well. I feel like the guy, he's got to have one of the highest field goal percentages in the NBA, right?
This guy. Yeah, I mean, he's over 60%, right?
Oh, my goodness, man. I mean, he missed, like, what, 5 shots last night and you still get beat?
Meanwhile, the Knicks are pretty good.
It was like 7 in a row.
There was a report in The Athletic, I guess it would be Monday, there are people close to Zion who have noticed how easy it's been for stars to force trades. But does he want that? And does he have the stomach for it, given how long the Pels have his contract under control? Like, are the Pelicans about to be in that situation now? Has the clock already begun on them? Like, we talked about, you know, who's the next star going to force a trade?
Yeah.
Could it be Zion? Could the clock already be ticking?
I mean, being 8 games under 500 and just looking awful, bad coaching, all that, I'm sure it's not helping the Pelicans' case to keep him.
Well, they fired his coach last year. Mm-hmm. They fired his coach last year, so rookie season, one coach.
Yep.
Second year, he already has a second one. I don't know how you would think Stan Van Gundy has any real job security.
I mean, he was there to, like, fix the defense. Wasn't that the big thing? Because, the Magic were good defensive teams in the past.
I would say he wasn't there to make the defense worse. But I would say it probably was like, hey, you coached Dwight Howard, and you were pretty creative with him, and you kind of helped bring in the three-point shooting, and you kind of, you know, knew how to handle that type of talent.
Yeah.
So maybe you can handle Zion. Maybe it was like that. I don't think of him as a – I mean, was he a good defensive coach in Miami when he was there? Yeah. But he had, you know, Shaq and Alonzo Mourning. Was he a good defensive coach when he was with the Magic? Yeah, but he had Dwight Howard, you know, defensive player of the year. But point being, they're 8 games under 500.
Yep.
Like, if Van Gundy's going to make it through – the year one, like, I would say he's already on the hot seat. So, like, Zion's got to be looking around saying, man, we ain't figuring this out in New Orleans. This isn't fun. Meanwhile, hey, man, this Madison Square Garden, by the way, Tom Thibodeau, he's good. And look at the Knicks. They're 5 games over 500. Julius Randle. We look just alike. I'm a big version of Julius Randle. We could be great teammates. Come on, send me to the Garden. Not that Garden. Not the Boston Garden. Send me to, I don't really have a New York accent.
I was about to say,
Is the clock ticking already for New Orleans? Because they say, like, he's under team control for a long time. That's not necessarily true. I don't know how much you guys know about NBA contracts, but after your rookie deal, they have your rights.
Yeah.
But if you don't sign any contracts and you just take a 1-year deal, which is called the qualifying offer, you can be a free agent within your 5th year. So all the talks that New Orleans could hold him for at least 7 ain't necessarily true. You just ain't had many guys turn down that money. There's only been 2 in recent history that I can think of that have been like, you know what, I'm not taking any type of contract after my rookie deal. I'm going to play for the discounted qualifying offer. The 2 that come to mind were Greg Monroe. Mm-hmm. And it worked out pretty okay for him. And Nerlens Noel, and it worked out very badly for him.
Yep.
Nerlens Noel turned down the money, so I'm playing the qualifying offer, then I'll be an unrestricted free agent, and we'll be able to go wherever I want. And then he had a terrible year, got hurt, and then, you know, was basically a vet minimum guy after that. Cost himself a whole lot of money. But if you're Zion, you got endorsement money, you got your sneakers coming out already, and you know, you stay healthy, you can force your way out of there pretty quickly. Quickly enough that, like, you know, you're 2 years away from that already, two off seasons away at least, where the Pelicans now have to say, are we going to go through this again like we did with Anthony Davis?
Man, if I was the Pelicans, I'd just give up. Like, you can't. How can you maintain a superstar? Like, they've tried to build a decent roster. Their roster's not bad.
No.
The roster's not bad.
No. I'm not going to do woe is me for the Pelicans. I'm not going to do woe is me for the Pelicans. Look at the contract extension they gave Steven Adams. And then cry to me about the Pelicans trying. Go ahead. Look it up. Look at how much money they gave Steven Adams.
Okay. I mean, Steven Adams, by the way, it's not like he's a terrible big man.
It's he not just like he's
the,
a... It's he like
was
he's
an
a,
important role for the Thunder, who just amazingly made a four seed.
The Thunder who did what?
Who overachieved completely the year before.
Who haven't won a playoff series in, what, 5 years?
What are you talking about? They were predicted what to begin the year? What, the 13th seed in the West? The 14th seed in the West? They end up getting a four seed and going to seven. They're a game away.
Let's talk through this a little bit. Why would they be projected to be so bad? In part because of Steven Adams as your starting center.
That's not true.
It is true.
They had all those good years with Russell Westbrook, too.
Where they won no playoff series.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to get you a playoff series, but I'm just saying he's not a terrible center. Let's not act like he's a terrible center.
Let's not act like he's a good center. Let's not act like he's, like, impacting anything. He's a defensive guy. The Pelicans' defense any better?
No.
Okay.
Eric Bledsoe, Lonzo Ball.
Oh, Eric Bledsoe also
Brandon
sucks.
Ingram? Is it Brandon Ingram a stud? What about Josh Hart?
What about him? The roster's not good, and they did the same thing with when Anthony Davis was there. They were trying to go all in to be good instead of build a franchise the right way, and like they just kept selling all their, you know, trading all their picks and trying to rush and put guys together and like, hey, here's the second best player we can get you, Anthony Davis. Enjoy Drew Holiday.
Well, what do you want him to do, John?
Be better. I want him to be better.
You say you got to be in a rush. Well, obviously you're in a rush. You're already talking about Zion trading away. It's 2 years.
No, they weren't in a rush. They're going to deal. Look, here's the problem. And yes, they are in a rush with Zion. But they're in a rush with Zion in part because if I'm Zion, I look at what they do with Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Like, the Anthony Davis sins are going to hurt this. And I understand that Danny Ferry wasn't there the entire time, their GM. But Anthony Davis gave them 7 years. They had time. And they did so many short-sighted moves, like trading for Amir Asik. You guys remember him, the center from Houston?
Yeah.
Trading for him. Like, they're just trying to put all these guys together that weren't very good, but like trading assets and not trying to build anything organically. Wasting a top 10 pick on Austin Rivers. Those are big deals. Like, when you miss out on those. I'm not going to do woe with me. Anthony Davis gave him 7 years. Now, it's going to suck with Zion because, yeah, it's a different regime, and you maybe should give Danny Ferry some time because he's a pretty good GM. But, like, Danny Ferry's moves ain't been great either. Yeah. Like we just said, you gave all that money to Steven Adams. You brought in Eric Bledsoe, who, you know, was fine. It ain't worked out for you. Jackson Hayes, like, he's okay, I guess. Like, it's another missed draft pick. The hire of Stan Van Gundy deserves to be questioned at this point. Because he just seems miserable. Like I said, they're 8 games .500. He hasn't cleaned up any issues for them. It just should be a little bit better when you have Zion and Brandon Ingram, who, like you said, Draven, is pretty good.
Yeah.
They didn't get anything for Lonzo at the trade deadline. He's disgruntled. He's most likely leaving this offseason because he's going to try to get big money somewhere. So, like, I just feel like I'm not going to cry for them, but I am interested in the game of chicken that Zion might be willing to play. Because, let's face it, I feel like the public doesn't get that mad at players anymore for forcing their way out, right?
I think people would be perfectly fine with Zion doing it. People would be like, oh, yeah, the Pelicans stink. Get out of there, man.
I mean, like, would you rather Zion go to the Knicks, you know, for example, just, you know, based off of, you know, him saying he loves New York and, you know, hey, let's go reunite with R.J. Barrett, my Duke boy. Like, would you rather see him with the Knicks if you're the NBA, if you're an NBA fan, or would you rather see him waste away in New Orleans and, again, not make the playoffs anytime soon?
Well, also, it's about how he goes about it, right? Like, Anthony Davis with the whole, what was it, that's all, folks, like that, and – you know, James Harden, just all the comments, like, basically, I'm giving up, I'm done with this team. Like, it's the way he handles it completely.
Is it? Because Anthony Davis seemed pretty happy last year in L.A., and I didn't hear anybody really hating Anthony Davis anymore.
I mean, people were kind of criticizing him when he was with the Pelicans at the time.
Right, right, but then he went to L.A. and started winning, and, you know, like, oh, wait, this guy's really great. This looks way more fun playing with LeBron James, and, oh, wait, now he's an NBA champion. And I don't think, like, anybody really held that against Anthony Davis. And keep in mind, you know, James Harden's hurt, and this is how we get on the subject, but James Harden was back in the MVP conversation. And everyone's like, you know what? James Harden's a maestro. Yeah. He's so great. We underappreciate him in Houston. Looks like he's having a lot of fun in Brooklyn. Kevin Durant still has fans. Mm-hmm. LeBron James still has fans. If I'm Zion, I'm looking around, like, man, I would really just start planting the seed. You know, the draft is really just messed up anyways. Like, imagine being told you have to go spend your first 7 years somewhere of your career.
Yeah.
Can't move. I didn't get to pick ever. Like, it's messed up. I'd start going ahead and planting that seed if I'm Zion. Get the public on your side.
Yeah.
Would you really want to go to New York?
Like, yeah, he loves the Garden.
I get it, man, but, like, especially, he's never going to win a championship there.
But just,
New York. New York's, it's not like they got a bunch of rising stars.
From, like, you know, the exposure, because it's one of the biggest TV markets things.
He's already got his own shoe brand. He's got Zion ones coming out.
You help promote that when you're on TV more and more people see you.
But him in New York will be, you know, astronomically better than him being in New Orleans.
Oh, no, I agree that it would be better. I'm just saying, like, he's not going to win a championship in New York.
I'd say he's a better chance of doing that than in New Orleans.
Come on now. Like, with this roster right now, unless New York goes and gets another star, then I'd believe
you. Julius Randle's better than anybody on the Pelicans team.
Okay, that's fine. It's better than New Orleans. I'm just saying, if you have this option to go anywhere you want, like you're saying, would you really want to go to New York instead of maybe like a little bit more of a contender? I don't know.
Like whom?
I don't know. We can all agree, like, New York's not winning a championship in the next few years unless they add two stars.
If Zion goes there, if Zion was in New York in 4 years, 3 years, then I think that would be a scenario where people would want to gravitate towards that. And I do think whenever people always talk about how much they love Madison Square Garden, and, like, it is a different regime there. And I do think that's a team that is a place where you could win a championship. And I think it'd be really fun, like, having Zion in New York anyways, him versus Kevin Durant. The Knicks versus Nets. Although, who knows, in 2 or 3 years, that might not be the same thing. But if both those franchises are good, and of course, you know, New York's a big market. We want to see the Knicks be good. And I don't know, Zion's already teasing them. He's already saying, look, hey, I know you're having fun with Julius Randle right now, and he's maybe an All-NBA player, and you guys are the 5 seed right now. But just think, a couple of years, I want to come. I want to come there. I love New York. Mm-hmm. I love Madison Square Garden.
Would it be that fun? By the way, we'd have to get used to every 8 o'clock game, New York's going to be on TV. Every 10:30 game, Golden State, as it is now with Golden State.
I want to see a good Knicks team on TV. I want to hear that crowd have something to root for.
They
were really fun
right
back
now.
When Carmelo was there, and they're at least somewhat respectable. I want to see that.
They're respectable right now.
I know, that's what I'm saying, but they don't really get to have a full fan experience is what getting at. Like,
yeah.
Big game tonight, by the way, for the Knicks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Huge game. Huge game for the Knicks.
What about Trey and the goggles, man? New look.
1-0.
I mean,
1-0 in the goggles. Many people are pointing out we're only 3.5 games behind the Bucks for the 3 seed. Mm-hmm. Many people are pointing that out.
Right.
Be careful. After
you just got killed by them last weekend.
Yeah, with all their starters. That's
Well, last I checked, John Collins is back, and Trey's got the goggles, and his thigh's feeling pretty good.
Clint
Capella calf's feeling
is
good.
Still a monster.
Yeah. Saying many people are pointing out we're only 3.5 games back.
Even though John did say that you guys weren't catching them.
I don't think we're going to catch them. I don't. But many people are saying I might be wrong. Many people are saying I don't know everything. But it's still possible. Huge game tonight, though, in the 4-5 matchup. Hawks-Knicks. Mm-hmm. Knicks riding a 7-game winning streak after winning again last night. I believe they beat the who did they beat last night?
The Knicks?
Yeah, who did they beat last night? Draven, can you look at the scoreboard quick for me? See who they beat?
I know who they beat.
They won by 12. It was a pretty easy
31 points in the second half.
They beat
31
Bud
points
City?
In the second half.
They did.
By Bud City.
I was just trying to...
leading at halftime. Hey, 31 points in the second half. It amazes me.
Scary Terry didn't get the job done.
Went cold.
Scary Terry didn't get the job done. The Hawks only scored 15 points in the third quarter, but they still won by 16.
Impressive.
Yeah. Since the quality opponent is about the same, huh?
Top 30 team. Top
they
30
usually struggle team. Against the Knicks, though, don't they, those Hawks?
Top 30. We can't be able to stop Julius Randle.
Yeah.
We haven't been able to stop Julius Randle. I'm excited for tonight, though. Knicks-Hawks, that's a big matchup for the 4 seed.
Oh, yeah.
Hawks already lost a tiebreaker to the Knicks, but so we need to win this game.
Yeah, might as well win this and just go get that 3 seed and get the Celtics, you know?
Yeah, I've been trying to think about, do I actually want the 3 seed? Because then when we play Brooklyn in the second round, would you play Brooklyn or the Sixers in the second round? I can't decide. It's tough. Just full steam ahead. Just focus on one game at a time. Knicks game tonight, big. I'm excited to watch Julius Randle versus the Hawks. See what he's got. He's busted our ass a couple times earlier this year.
I think that was before Nate McMillan, though.
It was. It was. And I believe we are, 19-6 under Nate McMillon, something like that?
Yep. An elite basketball team.
Yeah, one of the best records in the league since he took over. I believe it's 18-6, yeah.
Plus, and with our injuries? Wow.
I know, it's really amazing. 18-6, 20-7, just counting the interim stuff. Basically coach of the
year level plus.
That'd put us in line for the, my goodness. Grizzlies Clippers tonight, that's a big game. Clippers on a back-to-back.
Suns Sixers.
Leonard's still out, right?
Suns, nice little, Suns going through a nice little Eastern Conference test. They went through the Bucks, and now they're going to try to play the Sixers. Mm. Phoenix, 1-point favorites on the road.
Surprising. Ben Simmons not playing?
Yeah. I don't know. He didn't play the last game. I don't know if he's, is he still out? I believe he's still out. Which Kawhi's out.
Yep.
It's another injury add to it. He missed 4 games last week, came back on Sunday, and now going to be out at least the next week with a sore foot. So just add him to a list of superstars who have been banged up this year in the NBA.
Unreal.
Huge game for your Heat, Hayden, as they try to play their way out of the play-in situation. The seller of the
East. Who they play him?
The Spurs of San Antonio, in San Antonio. Spurs are 500 trying to pass the Grizzlies. It's a big action tonight.
Why are they stacking all these games together here at the end? I don't understand this.
What do you mean?
I just feel like they're playing more games like now than they were originally, more back-to-backs.
Yeah, it does seem weird.
I mean, I guess because their thought process at the beginning was to give people
enough time,
a little more time to get acclimated. With
rushing,
like,
yeah, I mean, like the Hawks played on Sunday?
Yeah.
And then they played yesterday. Then they got a back-to-back tonight. The Knicks are on a back-to-back as well, but like that's three games in 4 days, and then they turn around and play the Heat on Friday. That's another big game for both teams. That's going to be four games in 6 days. I mean, that's a huge haul on people, a huge toll.
Yep, then they play again Sunday.
And they play again Sunday against the Bucks. Yeah, it'll be 5 games in, 7 days?
Evan, that's a right before back-to-back.
Yeah, that's tough.
I would say that's why James Harden sitting out, like stars like that, probably just going to be sitting out.
Nope.
Because, I mean, it does sound like a lot. Right before playoffs.
And that is the benefit of being a good team. Like, if you're the Nets, 2 seeds pretty much locked up, at least. Like, you shouldn't fall to 3. And even if you do fall to 3, I don't think it'd be the end of the world. But you would rather have home court against the Bucks if you play them. But, you're fine there. Same as the Clippers. Like, you're pretty much locked into the, you're 2.5 games up over the 4 seed in Denver. You don't really want the 1 seed because the Lakers are hanging around there at 5 anyway, so just take your time with Kawhi. Be cautious. Whereas teams like the Hawks, the Knicks, the Heat, like they're kind of like, hey, we kind of want to get out of this, stay out of this play-in game situation. We got to kind of play our guys.
Yeah. Jeez, the Hawks don't have more of a 1 day gap between games until May 6th.
It's going to be May 6th to
May 10th is the only more than 1 day gap they have.
Yep, it's going to be a slog over these last month, but I don't know how much teams can afford to sit out, like I said, because in the East, we talk about the Hawks being the 4 seed, but they're only, 2 games above the Heat right now to try to stay out of that play-in game situation?
Yep.
So, I mean, you can't afford to rest. Like, you got to go out and try to beat the Knicks tonight. Good news for Grizzlies fans, I think John Morant posted a tweet of him and Jaren Jackson Jr. on the bench, which I think implies that Jaren Jackson Jr. might be close to making his season debut.
He hasn't played all year. He didn't play at the very beginning.
He didn't play all year. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
And his staff understand exactly what you're going through. They'll handle your case, and there are no fees unless the G3 team wins for you. Don't wait a minute longer. If you're in Knoxville, Sevierville, Chattanooga, the Tri-Cities, or surrounding areas, let the G3 team go to work for you. Call the law offices of G. Turner Howard III today, 865-558-8030, or visit their website at g3helpme.com to get the legal advice and representation you need and the money you deserve. That's the law offices of G. Turner Howard III at g3helpme.com.
Well, boys, the dream's over for the European Soccer Super League.
Oh, no. They finally call it quits?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they've officially called it quits, but I did see that, like, all six European teams, or all six English teams were like, hey, we're out.
Wow.
We're out. Then I saw, I believe, two of the La Liga teams out as well. So, you know, that's 8 of the 12. So I'd imagine it's dead, although I haven't seen the official RIP death date for it.
Now, one guy, he's going to find a way.
Don't worry, PSG and Bayern are still coming. Don't worry.
Actually, I want to say that I think Real Madrid also pulled out of the Super League. Mm. And that was like his club. Yeah, no, it's dead. It's dead. It's over. John Henry had to come out and issue an apology. Because you saw like a, you know, kind of a bloody Tuesday situation in soccer where you had, you know, presidents having to resign. Mm-hmm. Hell, the Glazer family that owns Arsenal are said to maybe be selling the team now because they wanted this Super League money and they're not going to get it. And like they've ruined like the relationship even further with the fans. So they might just sell the team, which I believe a lot of Arsenal fans are like, good.
Yeah.
Man United was able to, like, have their president resign, I believe, and they all hated him. So, like, some of them like, hey, great, fantastic, good to go, new era.
Man, isn't that crazy? You said they issued an apology, some of the owners. Like, yep. What did they say? Like, well, sorry, money got in the way? Or, yep. Like, what was
it? That's basically it. Like, John wow. Henry, who owns Liverpool and obviously owns the Boston Red Sox, and I think he even owns, like, the Boston Globe up there and everything. He came and was basically like, oops. My bad. He put out a live video that just said he wants to apologize to all the fans and supporters for the disruption he caused over the last 48 hours. It goes without saying, but should be said, that the project put forward was never going to stand without the support of the fans. No one ever thought differently in England, and over these 48 hours, you were very clear that it would not stand. We heard you. I heard you. Then he apologized to his manager, his CEO, the players, because the players were upset.
Yeah, trying to save that relationship a little bit.
And just basically like, hey, you don't be mad at them. They had nothing to do with it. They were the most disrupted, and that was unfair. That is what hurts the most. They love your club and work to make you proud every day. Again, I'm sorry, and I'm alone in this response, and I am alone and responsible for the unnecessary negativity brought forward over the past couple of days. It's something that I won't forget. And shows the power the fans have today and will rightly continue
knew it was
to
coming.
Have.
Yep.
If there's one thing this horrible pandemic has clearly shown, it's how crucial fans are to our sport and every sport.
Wow.
It's shown in every empty stadium. It's been an incredibly tough year for all of us. Virtually no one unaffected. Which, that's not how you use a semicolon. Right? I mean, that's not how you use a semicolon, right?
I don't think so.
It's been an incredibly tough year for all of us, semicolon, virtually no one unaffected. I don't think that's how you use a semicolon.
Mm-mm.
Semicolon. That's not how you use it. Because virtually no one unaffected is not a sentence.
Yeah.
Right? You're also asking the wrong guy.
Doesn't have to be a sentence after the semicolon, basically.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Starting a new dot. Because,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be a full sentence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Virtually no one unaffected is not a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just got to end that, wrap that up with something.
You could say virtually no one was unaffected. Then it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that the Liverpool football family remains intact, vital, and committed to what we've seen from you globally with local gestures of kindness and support. I can promise you I will do whatever I can to further that. Well, that's what we call tucking your tail between your legs and coming back.
Trying to save face as much as
possible. Sucking up. Love how he just kept hitting on the fans. Man, these fans. How good are they? Wow. Something, it just goes to show during hard times how great we need fans, how much we need. Whatever, dude. If I was a true fan of this, I would be livid hearing these comments.
I am interested to see if this, like, if everything's okay now.
If everything just kind of goes back to normal.
Yeah, like with the fans. Like, have the relationships been tarnished? Because, again, some of these clubs
had to, you know, they had presidents resign. The people that were kind of in charge were like, hey, I'm out. Now, the owner, again, like, the Glazer family, they might sell. That statement doesn't sound like John Henry is even entertaining the thought of selling his team. So do the fans just say, hey, it's okay, water under the bridge?
They may just be, you know, how mad they were at this. A lot of them may just be relieved that this is over, to be honest. I mean, okay, sure. Fine, we got our stuff back to...
It might just be a big celebration, and like they'll go back, and you know they were already unhappy, I think, with the new Champions League structure that was going to happen. But hell, they might think that's fine now because they avoided the worst case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, after they officially announced it for Chelsea, I mean, you saw the people in the streets. They were like, went from protesting to like celebrating. They're like hugging each other, like going crazy.
Well, I mean, you know, we can relate to that. Whenever the Shiano news that he wasn't going to be the head coach anymore, you know, once that fell apart, you were pretty much going to be happy with anybody you got, which is why people were happy with Jeremy Pruitt, with all due respect to Dave Dorn, because no one was going to be happy with Dave Dorn.
Yeah, not at all.
Like, we weren't going to, like, rally and, like, protest and, like, you know, do all that to stop Dave Dorn. But, like, people were just going to tweet mad things about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's where everyone's like, you know what? Jeremy Pruitt, that's fine. He's not Greg Schiano. So maybe that's what's going on in European soccer now, where they're just like, hey, no Super League, whatever's fine.
I feel like it's tough to come back from this, especially if he's going to still be the owner, still be kind of a part of it, right? Like, I don't know.
We'll see. We'll see. Like, maybe there'll be a big honeymoon phase where everyone's like back in the stadium as soon as they can and celebrating, like feeling like they accomplished something.
Yeah.
You do get a sense of pride from that, and like, you know, you have the owner coming out just constantly talking about the fans. And I imagine every club owner right now is talking about how much they love the fans and how powerful they are. And if you are a European soccer fan of one of these teams that, you know, heard your voice, if you're a Chelsea fan, if you're a Liverpool fan, you probably feel like, hey, we got a big voice. We're powerful. You're feeling yourself a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
Go ahead and use that power. Get this guy resigned. Didn't he say sole responsible for this? Didn't he say that in that long comment? Be like, okay, then resign. It's time for you to call it quits.
Face your mistakes.
It'd be tough to sign up to give this guy money.
Yeah.
You just had the Ferran Soriano, who was the, I guess he's a part of the Man City. Is he the owner, maybe, I believe? Or he is doing the same thing.
Yeah, they're just trying to save that relationship with the fans a little bit, and hopefully they don't get any pressure to, or they're hoping they don't get any pressure to sell or be pushed out or anything like that.
They said, hey, we was trying to do the best we can, blah, blah, blah. However, in making that choice, we failed to remind ourselves of the unbreakable link between the passion of our fans and the right to have the opportunity to earn success. It is a truth that is fundamental to the DNA of Manchester City. And the board deeply regrets taking a decision that lost sight of the historic values of the club. We made a mistake, and we sincerely apologize to our fans for the disappointment, frustration, and anguish caused by the last 72 hours.
Anguish.
I mean, people were, I would say this did ruin a lot of people's like last couple of days. I'd say there's a lot of people in there like really stressed out and sad.
Yeah.
To them, it probably feels similar to how we would feel if like the NFL is just like, hey, we're done.
Yeah.
Or at least if you thought the NFL might just end.
The way we know it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, maybe just done it all, like a new league was coming. Because, I mean, there was, you know, there was uncertainty of whether or not, like, the Premier League would continue because, you know, if six of those teams had left or didn't really care and was just focused on their money in the Super League, who knows? Because they're like, hey, we're playing midweek games.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I know a lot of the Premier League is on the weekend, but, you know, every now and then they throw in a Monday or Tuesday game.
Yeah,
for sure.
So it could have just changed forever. Maybe the Premier League would have just sucked it up, but like the Champions League's important, and that was going to die. So I'd say it really, really bothered a lot of people. It would be like all of a sudden, like I said, if the NFL is just like, nah, we're good. The most popular thing in your country is just like, nah, we're going to change it completely.
The NFL, then they kind of do that a little bit with adding an extra game. I mean, not as massive of a change, but I mean, they're changing things without the fans really having any say.
I love that they just like, yeah, we're changing this, but the reason we're changing it is because it's actually safer. More injuries happen in the preseason. We're actually getting rid of the injury risk, and we're giving you one extra game that's going to be safer.
That
we're doing
makes
this
sense.
For the safety of our players. That's what we're doing. That's it.
Of course.
Absolutely.
It's always about the players, John. It's about the players' health.
I mean,
or the fans.
Would it be about?
Yeah. Or the
yeah,
fans.
Of course, yeah.
The fan, I'm like, oh, yeah, nice. An extra game. Sweet. I'll take it.
Now that weird time where we can either take a really short commercial break and come back and reset. Let's just do that. Take a really short commercial break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Appreciate BJ for the correction. Had it written down yesterday. I thought I learned it. But the Glazers own Manchester United, not Arsenal.
Okay.
So people are happy that they were going to sell.
Okay.
They're going to do a complete overhaul there.
Yeah, you got the red teams.
Got the president out. Got him to resign. Or whoever's in charge, I guess, the president. Or I don't know if there's a different title over there. But then, yeah, the owner's like, hey, we might sell. I looked it up yesterday. Had it all written down. Didn't bother to write it down again. Segment's brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, give them a call, 865-558-8030, or visit them online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helpme.com. Cam, tease the people. Give them your biggest surprise in your mock draft.
Ooh, my biggest surprise in my mock draft.
Your biggest call, the one you feel is going to set you apart from all the other experts.
Ooh,
this would be like your sleeper getting to the Elite Eight, or I don't know. You feel confident someone's making a final.
Let's say
four
Miami
run.
Makes another trade
with
the Falcons.
Ooh,
I got Miami trading back up.
So you think Miami's going to go from 6 to 4?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To get
Kyle Pitts.
Okay. You heard it here first.
The Falcons taking who at 6?
I had Trey Lance still being there, so I had them
old Trey.
With Trey Lance.
What are the closest four-way polls put up yesterday? Yeah, I was surprised at how close the voting was. I put up the poll question, who has benefited the most from one Super Bowl ring between Carroll, Tomlin, Peyton, and John Harbaugh? We've had accusations of racism in the results, with 28% voting for Mike Tomlin. I do not think he is the biggest benefactor of this because, you know, the Steelers have won a bunch of games over the years. But, again, only 3 playoff wins in over a decade.
Yep.
He led the way at 28%. Harbaugh at 27%, Pete Carroll 23%, Sean Payton 22%. I think I would have voted for Sean Payton.
Yeah, same here. Just he's had some real bad stretches, and he survived them all basically because he won that Super Bowl, and he was the guy that was there like after Katrina, and I think that kind of just bought him a bunch of time too.
How much pressure is he going to be under next year? Not like fireable pressure, right?
No.
Well,
no. They come out and go 5-11, or I guess what 5-12,
yeah.
6-12.
If he rolls
6-11.
Out like Taysom Hill instead of like Jameis or something, and he's just awful, and they have to switch quarterbacks around, stuff like that, I think he'll get a little heat because you know that's been like his guy. But I think they're gonna give him a little bit of time, you know, to try
post Breeze.
Yeah, that's the big thing there. And just with the cap situation, they'll give him some time to try and hopefully, you know, post-Breeze, get the cap fixed a little bit. I think they'll be fine next year, you know, but their defense is still solid enough.
Okay.
I mean, he had 3 straight years of what, you say, 7-9, right?
Yeah.
Under 500.
But at that time, I mean, there was a lot of talks about them mutually parting ways. I mean, there was talks about him getting traded to, like, Dallas or somewhere like that.
I remember those, yeah. Remember those rumors.
Acting as if he wasn't, like, a New Orleans lifer. But obviously, he made it through that, and his coach, you know, another 5 years or whatever. So, of those four, like, I wouldn't be surprised if, Tomlin's safe. He just got the extension. But wouldn't be surprised if it was Carroll's last year, Peyton's last year, or Harbaugh's last year in their in their respective places.
Even Harbaugh?
Yeah, a little bit
he's
of
just
NFL
been there forever, man. But I guess you're right. I mean, like, if when I say that, I really just think, like, all three of them could be one bad season away from just being like, we need a change of scenery.
Yeah.
A change of voice.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, Harbaugh, yeah, they beat the Titans last year, but, man, they should have won that Buffalo game. And he still only has, what would we say?
Yeah.
What, three playoff wins?
Mm-hmm.
Last 7 years?
Yeah, I think it was two, yeah. Oof.
Two playoff wins and only, like, four appearances and...
Not great.
What were we going to say, Cam? You had some news?
I'm saying NFL just announced the schedule release date.
Okay.
Where we get the full schedule. Wednesday, May 12th. We'll get the official dates and times, or maybe not times, but official dates of these games. So
when is that again?
May 12th.
The NFL never stops, man. They try their best to make it year-round.
Right after the draft.
Give you something every month. Which the Titans joined the other NFL teams that were like, hey, we're not doing voluntary workouts this year.
Saw that, yeah.
Has any team...
been like, hey, no, actually, we want to.
Yeah, I think the Packers said they weren't going to have people missing.
Oh, really?
You know why?
I have to double check that.
They're owned by the town.
Yeah,
they own obligation to their owners. All right, hour two in the books. We'll kick off hour three with headlines. We'll dive in a little bit more into Cam's mock draft. We'll play some overrated, underrated. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.